It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Every spring, Wisconsinites have the opportunity to make their voices heard on issues related to our state's natural resources. The latest vote results came up late last week.
This year, 1,200 people attended in-person hearings hosted by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. That's an elected body that advises the DNR on policy on behalf of citizens. Others voted online.
In all, almost 7,000 people weighed in on over 40 conservation-related questions.
The advisory votes shape the requests that the Congress brings to the DNR. A big theme this year is a willingness to increase fees for a variety of fishing and hunting licenses.
Patrick Durkin is president of the Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Association. He writes for the Wisconsin Outdoor News, Meat Eater Media, and American Hunter magazine. He's been following these hearings for decades. Pat, thanks a lot for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob.
Now, there are a lot of questions related to fee increases that are related to conservation. Before we dig into the results, why are these fees such a big issue right now?
Well, this has been an issue going back 20 years since the last time Wisconsin raised the fees. And, you know, the increases used to be fairly common every few years. Now it's gone, you know, two decades without a fee increase. And previous attempts have brought up basically the same issues that we're seeing steady declines in our funding for the our natural resources. And this time it's on the spring hearings once again. But this requires, you know, acts of legislate from the legislature. And so far they have not wanted to boost the fees.
What are the particular kind of fees that voters were asked about here? And what was their response?
Yeah, you know, two that were real direct ones were fee increases suggested for the annual trout stamp and also the annual turkey stamp. And those are both approved by pretty good margins. And also, you know, the big one for funding the DNR has always been our deer licenses. And that one, it wasn't singled out specifically, but that's one that really drives so much the DNR funding.
A couple of weeks ago, we heard from president of the Western Lake Superior Trolling Association, Jim Van Landschoot, about wildlife management cuts stemming from what the DNR says is insufficient spending authority granted by the legislature. Here's some of what Jim had to say about support for higher license fees to avoid cuts.
Everybody I've talked to in our group, you know, it's why haven't we had an increase since 2005? You know, inflation goes up every year. The costs of the DNR go up every year. But our license fees aren't keeping up with that. And we did try to push for an increase in our trout stamp a few years ago, and that failed. So I guess we're right back at the starting point there again, where we need a license fee increase to make the department solvent.
So, Pat, I think this seems significant. A lot of times if you ask people, hey, do you want to pay more for a thing that you pay money for? They'll say no. There seems to be a fair amount of yes out there. What is it that has a lot of conservation people, hunters, fishers saying, you know, maybe, yeah, we should pay some more money here?
Well, it is to me always interesting how the first thing hunters and anglers typically complain about are the fees for that we pay for these annual licenses. But when push comes to shove, though, when they see programs starting to get cut and they see access, you know, not being kept up, all those kind of things, they notice that. And so, like, what always happens, Rob, is the first year of a fee increase, you hear a lot of complaining. And then eventually the complaining kind of dies off. They get used to the idea that the fees are at a certain price now. And they start doing their own in-the-head calculations and realizing of all the things you can take into the field or take on into the boat or on the streams, that the license fee is always the cheapest. Yeah. And I spent Saturday, for instance, just walking through the Cabela's store over near Minneapolis. And I think of all the paraphernalia I keep for hunting and fishing. And I think, yeah, in the big picture, a license fee is pretty small potatoes.
Now, some key fishing seasons just kicked off over the weekend, and the DNR had just announced, hey, we're going to close some hatcheries, we're stocking less in some places. Are people on the ground or in the water, I guess, actually seeing the impact of not having these fee increases in action with, you know, maybe ultimately fewer fish where they go fishing?
Well, you know, the hatchery issue, depending on what you're fishing for, it might not affect what you do. And so it's going to affect everyone differently on that one. And plus, with fishing, and especially fishing, it can be so unpredictable how you'll do on any given day when you go fishing. It can, there's so many factors, whether it's weather, wind, all these kind of things. So it's always hard to pinpoint exactly why you aren't catching fish. But, just look at this and wish we don't, wish we'd quit having the same discussions year after year. We know what the problem is, and lawmakers, it basically comes down to the legislature. They have not wanted to increase the fees because they always seem to think that any kind of fee increase is seen as a tax increase. And I don't think the average hunter and fisherman just goes that far with that. They accept these things. It's always been a pay-as-you-go system, and we kind of accept that.
Talking to outdoor writer Patrick Durkin about the results of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress's spring hearing, where they get the public's opinion on potential natural resource policies. A lot of support for various kinds of fee increases in this year's vote. Patrick, talk a little bit about that process. What happens next? We've got these votes in hand. These are advisory, of course. As you've mentioned, they don't change policy. What do people do with these results? How do they go up the ladder next?
Well, in about 3 weeks from now, we'll have the annual Wisconsin Conservation Congress's annual convention, and they'll look at these questions again, and probably push forth to have them on next year's ballot again, and make them an actual proposal, a little more official clout to it. But ultimately, it's always going to come down to people having to contact their lawmakers, let them know that they support these things. And if they don't hear much from their constituents on this, they just kind of take it as something that's not that important to them. And so I just always point out to my readers that these things, these programs don't happen by accident. They require staff, they require equipment, and all these things that cost money. And you won't get them without funding, for them. So it's an issue that's been there a long time now, and I think I hope people start realizing this is getting serious now. We're 20 years, and we're getting behind.
Now, this year's vote saw a fairly low response rate, the lowest since 2019, I think. Does that mean that people are paying attention, participating less, or is it that there wasn't like a big hot button issue, like, hey, we're gonna ask about deer hunting regulations and earn a buck or something like that?
Right. Yeah, this was the lowest one we've seen in participation since about 2019, and it typically takes one or two real controversial issues. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, one that came up was discussions of the mourning dove season, and that one popped up a lot, and people got out there for that. And we also had one you might remember in 2005 where. Someone proposed that the hunters be allowed to shoot feral cats when they're out in the field. And that one jumped up, got people all agitated about that. And so those things happen. And I guess when you look back on, every year I track the attendance of this, and I keep a chart going back to, I think 1972. And you always see these fluctuations. And the thing I'll always point out to the people is that, this year's attendance was low. But if you ever go to the Capitol to attend hearings, most bills that get hearings don't draw those kind of numbers overall. So to me, this is still an accessible way that people have to communicate their thoughts and their wishes to the people who represent them.
Yeah, mourning doves and feral cats were definitely hot issues here on Wisconsin Public Radio as well. I remember them well. Now, for these in-person meetings, right, people could vote online now, which they couldn't back then. What is it like, though, when you go to the in-person hearing? Set the scene for us.
Yeah, it's to me, it's always a tough thing. The old expression about the democratic process being something you might not want to witness in person, it can be like that. Some nights you have these hearings, and the discussion just gets pretty hard to sit through sometimes. But I think that's kind of the way I think it should work, that we sometimes have to be made a little uncomfortable by the process. But it's cool for me to see DNR people stand up and talk about questions, answer questions from people. And sometimes the group, when it involves anything besides deer, they often will listen to that perspective from a professional and vote that way. But then deer come up, and you'll always have these folks who they deer hunt. They've been deer hunting all their life. They know more than the DNR does about it, so they just reject whatever the DNR person was saying. And so it can be fun. It can be tedious. And I guess, though, I keep going to the ones in person because I still think that's where you get a better feel for what's really on people's minds.
Yeah, obviously a lot more than, say, 7,000 Wisconsinites hike or hunt or fish or canoe or all of the above or some of the above. What would you say to people to get them to suggest that they get involved, whether they go to the hearing or want to vote online or just keep closer track of issues that affect their outdoor experience?
Yeah, the one thing I really like about the online option that we have now, you have basically 3 days to go online and take the survey, go through the questions and weigh in. So you don't have to sit through the in-person discussion. And the questions that are on the questionnaire each spring, they often have a good explanation about what the debate's all about. And so to me, I just think if you just did that much every spring, you'd keep in touch a lot better with the issues that are percolating out there in the Wisconsin landscape.
Patrick, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
You bet. Always enjoy it.
That's Patrick Durkin, outdoors writer and reporter based in Wisconsin. He talked with us about the results of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress spring hearing, which gives a snapshot of public opinion on natural resource management in the state. Have you gone to one of these in person? Have you gone to lots of these in person? Or did you vote online this year or last year? Love to hear about your experiences and why you participate. Let us know. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That email again, wisconsintoday@wpr.org.